Recording started.
Good morning and welcome to our first day of spring, our spring Sunday Soul Connection, also our Mothering Sunday celebration. So as always, we set the intention of our time together by starting with Naturally Seven and Let It Be. As always, I applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy schedule. The 1,440 minutes that are promised to us each day. We utilize many of them. In fact, sometimes I would say we squander many of them in allowing our minds to wander onto things that truly we don't want to experience in our life. So to take our attention and be conscious for the next 45 minutes or so to unite and join with each other across the airwaves and to take this moment to deepen down in spirit is the best thing you can do for your soul. So we continue with the season of nonviolence. It's day 56 when we started back in January, 64 days of practicing different principles and qualities seemed a bit of a stretch. But we are actually on the home stretch now. And every morning as I'm studying the principle for the day and posting it on Instagram and Facebook, it calls me to be conscious. It calls me to be conscious of whatever that quality or the trait of the day is. We drift through life thinking that we are being the best that we can be, thinking that we are living from the highest of our integrity and believing that we're doing all that we can to be the best human being that God put on this earth. But sometimes in our quiet moments, we know that's not really true. We know that we can all effort to be better. We can all effort to be more loving, more kind, more compassionate, more forgiving, more accepting. And it does require effort. This thing of becoming a fully human being realized, it's not for the faint-hearted. Often I remind you that the spiritual journey, it's not an easy one. It's one that requires us over and over and over again to be diligently, consistently checking and rechecking ourselves. Because what we think we know in this moment, we will forget in the next. And how we may show up as a kind, loving human being towards those that kind and loving towards us, we may not be quite the same way to those that challenge us. So today, day 56, the quality we're looking at is self-sufficiency. I believe in self-sufficiency. And I also believe that God is my sufficiency for all my needs. And so the two are combined, they're not exclusive. It's recognizing that right where I am, God is the source of all intelligence, the source of all life. And as I am sufficient in that awareness, my every need is met. As I allow God to be my sufficiency in all things, I'm centered. I am grounded. I don't need to look outside of myself for validation or acceptance. For I know that just as I am good. Epicurus said self-sufficiency is the greatest of all wealth. And I concur. For when you know that you are sufficient and that God in you is your sufficiency in all things, you don't or moved by praise or criticism, you're moved by other people's opinions, you are aware and accepting of your own worth and your own validation. Tomorrow, March the 27th, it's service. I love what Martin Luther King says when he says, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. As I often have repeated here on Sunday, so we're not here to be the next Mother Teresa or next Gandhi or Martin Luther. We're here to be us. And we don't have to wait until we win the lotto or until we have more time or until whatever it is, fill in the blanks, before we can do something. As Martin Luther King says, everybody can serve. You just need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. Tuesday is citizenship. Eugene V. Debs says, I have no country to fight for. My country is the earth, and I am the citizen of the world. This seems more relevant now than ever before. When we see what's going on around the globe of people being ostracized and kept out of various countries because of their religion or where they're from. This is God's world. This is God's globe. We're the ones that have come and put the marks in and saying, this is my country. We're the ones that have put the boundaries and the borders in to delineate which land belongs to us. But it cannot belong to us because we cannot take anything with us when we leave. So to recognize that truly we are global citizens, we are global people, and that we are of one family, one race, the human race, is a great step forward to being a citizen of the world. Wednesday is intervention. Cheryl Richardson says, try to stop controlling your life. It gets in the way of divine intervention. That made me smile when I read it. Because too often we are making our decisions for our lives without allowing a little wiggle room for divine intervention, without even aligning yourself with the spirit within to say, is this the right thing? Is this your will? Is this what you would have me do? So Wednesday is to have the courage to be open to divine intervention for your life. Thursday is witnessing. Dr. Rafa Sultan says the clash we are witnessing around the world is not a clash of religions or a clash of civilizations. It's a clash between two opposites, between two eras. It is a clash between a mentality that belongs to the Middle Ages and another mentality that belongs to the 21st century. It's a clash between civilization and backwardness, between the civilized and the primitive, between barbarity and rationality. we are truly witnessing at this time the extremities in human nature. Those who believe in divide and separation, and those that recognize oneness and inclusivity. And it's for each individual to choose whether we are moving forward in this 21st century in a way that is inclusive of everyone and creating a world that works for everyone, or whether we continue to go backwards. Friday is peace. Marianne Williamson says, ego says, once everything falls into place, I'll feel peace. And spirit says, find your peace, and then everything will fall into place. You see, I sometimes think that we are mistaken in believing that peace comes from freedom from confusion and from the storms of life. But no, peace is finding it whilst you are going through the confusion and in the storms of life. You see, none of us are promised a life that is free from distress or heartache or things that rob us of our peace. But what we do have is that inner connection to spirit when we are conscious, that no matter what we are going through, we are never without that center of peace if we can tune into it. Always I love that image of Jesus laying asleep in the back of the boat as the storm raged and the water began to flow into it. Many of us, when we are faced with difficulties and trying times, cannot sleep. So there was the master teacher taking his rest until the disciples shook him awake and asked him, does he not care if they are perishing? To which he simply stood up and said, peace, be still. To be able to say peace, be still to the storms in our lives, but truly would be a true step of self-mastery. And Saturday, the principle is commitment. Tony Robbins says there's no abiding success without commitment. Whatever it is that you decide you want for your life, or how you want your life to be, it requires commitment to keep on choosing that over doubt. It requires commitment to keep deciding that you are going to try one more time. It requires commitment, if it's an exercise goal that you want to achieve, to keep on getting up and doing that exercise. For anything we want to succeed in life, it takes commitment. And so, my beloveds, I trust you will continue onwards with me as we are drawing towards the close of our season of nonviolence. And as always, check out the postings on Facebook and Instagram. So it's Mother's Day. I said that God realized when he couldn't be here on this earth that he created mothers to stand in his place for us. And truly, we shouldn't just make one day a year to celebrate the beautiful, wonderful mothers and mothering influences in our lives. But it's better than nothing that we take one day to honor them. And I came across some rather amusing little anecdotes from second graders, and these are 6 to 7 year olds, when asked, why did God create moms? And the answers that came back are quite amusing. So when asked, why did God create mothers? One little child said, she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. Another little child said, mostly to clean the house. And another child said, to help us out there when we were getting born. When asked, how did God make mothers? One said, he used dirt, just like the rest of us. Another one said, magic plus superpowers and a lot of stirring. And yet another one said, God made my mum just the same like he made me. He just used bigger parts. When asked, what ingredients are mothers made of? One said, God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean. Another one said, they have to get their start from men's bones. Then they mostly use string, I think. When asked, why did God give you your mother and not some other mum? One said, we're related. And another said, God knew she liked me a lot more than other people's mums like me. And when asked, what kind of little girl was your mum? One said, my mum has always been my mum, and none of that other stuff. Another said, I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be she would be pretty bossy. And another one said, they say she used to be nice. And when asked, what did mum need to know about dad before she married him? One said, his last name. Another said, she had to know his background, like he's a crook, and does he get drunk on beer? When asked, why did your mum marry your dad? One said, my dad makes the best spaghetti in the world, and my mum likes to eat a lot. Another said, she's too old to do anything else with him. And three says, my grandma says that my mum didn't have her thinking cap on. So when asked, what does your mum do in her spare time? They all acknowledged, mums don't do and have a lot of spare time. Another said, to hear her tell it, she pays bills all day long. And when asked, what would it take to make your mum perfect? One said, on the inside, she's already perfect. Outside, I think she needs some kind of plastic surgery. Another said, diet. You know, her hair. Our diet may be blue. So finally, when they were asked, if you could change one thing about your mum, what would it be? One says, she has this weird thing about me keeping my room clean. I'd like to get rid of that. Another said, I'd make my mum smarter, and then she would know it was my sister who did it and not me. And then finally, another little one said, I would like to get rid of those invisible eyes on the back of her head. I think all of us could relate to one or more of those aspects of what makes mums so great. Truly, they are God's angels here on earth. And whether your mum is still alive with you or she's passed on, she always holds a special place in your heart. And so my story today is a very short one. A special message is entitled. A weary mother returned from the store, lugging groceries through the kitchen door. Awaiting her arrival was her 8-year-old son, eager to relate what his young brother had done. While I was out playing and Dad was on call, TJ took his crayons and wrote on the wall, it's on the new paper you just hung in the den. I told him you'd be mad at having to do it again. She let out a moan and furrowed her brow. Where's your little brother right now? She emptied her arms with a purposeful stride. She marched to his closet where he had gone to hide. She called his full name as she entered his room. He trembled with fear. He knew that meant doom. For the next 10 minutes she ranted and raved about the expensive wallpaper and how she had saved, lamenting all the work it would take to repair. She condemned his actions and total lack of care. The more she scolded, the madder she got, then stomped from his room totally distraught. She headed out of the den to confirm her fears. When she saw the wall, her eyes flooded with tears. The message she read pierced her soul with a dart. It said, I love Mummy, surrounded by a heart. Well, the wallpaper remained just as she found it, with an empty picture frame hung to surround it, a reminder to her and indeed to all, take time to read the handwriting on the wall. So our Science of Mind reading is entitled, Love After All, Our first quote comes from 1 John 4:8, "For God is His love." Our second from Ernest Holmes, The Science of Mind, page 195, "We are so one with the whole that what is true of it is also true of us." The author writes, "Beyond every appearance in the physical world, from the mundane to the miraculous, there is the indwelling essence of love. The vast panorama of our world, with its immense diversity, is all a creation of love. It is all a result of the desire of life to express itself. All that exists comes from the one and same source, which is love." As Ernest Holmes writes, "The budding rose, the flowering tree, the corn ripe for harvest, the childhood plain, the surging tide, the saint kneeling before the altar of faith, are all manifestations of the one life, one presence, one power. Recognizing that the essential energy of this presence and power is love, know that you live, breathe, and have your being in love. Love is the source of reality of your nature. You were brought forth out of love, and you were sustained, guided, and nurtured by love. At all times and in every aspect of your life, you are loved. You are love. Your individualized life, an expression of spirit, is an essential to the divine being, as is every other manifestation of love. Love is the true reality of your life. It lives in and as you, and is always available for you. If ever a fearful thought should arise, turn within and allow a sense of the presence and activity of love in your life to dissolve that thought in a realization of the healing, calming atmosphere of love in and as through you." So if you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within and connect with that essence of love, that divine energy, that divine light, life, power, and presence. As always, you're invited to bring your attention to your breath, the gentle inhalation and exhalation, the ebbing and the flow, the contraction and the expansion. And always at this time, I remind you of the words of Job, who says, "It is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life." So as you breathe in, say to yourself, "This is my breath as I breathe in." As you breathe out, say to yourself, "This is my breath as I breathe out." Inhale, "This is my breath as I breathe in." "This is my breath as I breathe out." In. Out. In. Out. In. As you breathe out, say to yourself, "This is my breath as I breathe out slower." Inhale, "This is my breath as I breathe in deeper." Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in healing. This is my breath as I breathe in healing. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out forgiveness. Healing. Breathe in peace. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out nonviolence. take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that is in need of prayer at this time. Prayer is not petitioning a God that is somewhere, but simply opening ourselves up to realize that God is right where we are, and that the solution to all that we are seeking is already provided for. For it is written, before you call, I have answered, and while you yet speak, I have heard. We know that there is nowhere where God is not. We're living, moving, and having our being in the divine omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence that is the transcendent one. Divine beloved, infinite creator, source of all that is. As we consciously align ourselves with your presence at this time, knowing that right where we are, your peace that passeth all human understanding is abiding within our hearts. We know that right where we are, all health, all wholeness, all joy, all abundance, all good, all that your life is right where we are. We know that nothing can separate us from your grace. For your grace is our sufficiency in all things. So we hold in our hearts at this time, this beautiful world and all its inhabitants. We hold this beautiful world in our hearts at this time, for it's fragmented with hatred and division. We're holding this world in our hearts at this time, and pouring forth love, 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 to heal, to bless, to restore, to touch, to enliven, to do whatever is necessary to bring mankind to the remembrance that we are one kind, we are humankind, and that we are each made in your image and likeness, and that image and likeness is love, love, love. So for all the tragic events that have been happening across this globe, we send forth love. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever, ever grateful. And so it is. Amen. Take a deep breath in as I unmute the phones. And
all participant lines have been unmuted. Press #6 to mute your line.
And repeat after me our morning's meditations and affirmations. Our first one from the Science of Mind says, I am enveloped in infinite love.
I am enveloped in infinite love.
Buddhist meditations, I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace. May my physical body provide me with strength. May my life unfold smoothly and with ease. If anyone has hurt or harmed me knowingly or unknowingly,
if anyone has hurt me knowingly or unknowingly,
in thought, word, or deed,
In thought, word or
deed.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone knowingly or unknowingly.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone knowingly or unknowingly.
In thought, word or deed.
In thought, word or deed.
May I be happy.
May I be happy.
May I be peaceful.
May I be peaceful.
May I be free.
May I be free.
May my friends be happy.
May my friends be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be
peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
And now our prayer of protection, the light of God surrounds me.
The light of God surrounds me.
The love of God enfolds me.
The love of God enfolds me.
The power of God protects me.
The power of God protects me.
The presence of God watches over me.
The presence
of God watches over me.
Wherever I am, God is, and all is well.
Wherever I am, God is, and all is well.
All is well.
So, beloved, as we come towards the end of our Mothering Sunday soul connection, I'll be back with you on Thursday for our 10-minute top-up, our 10 of 10, and next Sunday. So my benediction has been an adaptation of the Lord's Prayer entitled The Lady's Prayer by Conya Silva. Divine Mother, whose essence lies in all, Goddess is thy name. Thy blessings come. Thy will be done in accordance to your divine plan. Give me this day the wisdom to co-create for the good of all, with harm to none. And bless me with compassion for those I do not understand, as well as those who do not understand me. Illuminate thy path of truth before me, and awaken me from my own illusions. For thou art the universe, love and spirit within. So be it, blessed be. And so my song for Mother's Day is entitled A Song for Mama, From Boys to Men. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Mama, wishing all the mamas a very blessed and happy Mothering Sunday. God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you.